Welcome to the Doug Haldeman Show, brought to you by the Real Estate Radio Network.
Welcome to the Doug Haldeman Show, brought to you by the Real Estate Radio Network. Doug Haldeman Show is a show dedicated to helping you become a smarter consumer, providing you with real-life solutions for your real estate, finance, and credit needs, along with the mindset that it takes for you to win in today's market. Together with you, we will rebuild the St. Louis housing and credit markets. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. I'm a licensed mortgage lender, NMLS 298-419, and an experienced real estate investor. For the past 17 years, my passion has been helping clients develop debt strategies that have led to wealth creation and smarter spending. That trusted advice is what you'll hear every Sunday at 4 p.m. right here on FM News Talk 97.1. Thanks for joining us. When you need trusted advice in your mortgage or real estate, or if you have a comment or question, just text or call me personally at 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684. Or you can visit our website at DougHaldeman.com. That's DougHaldeman.com. I want to welcome my co-host, Miss Tammy Renfro. Welcome, Tammy.
Hey, thanks for having me on Cinco de Mayo.
Yes, happy Cinco de Mayo to you.
Break out the jalapenos.
Also want to welcome Tom Turbrock, my producer. Welcome, Tom.
Good afternoon and happy Cinco de Mayo, my friend. And break out the jalapenos sounds good. The nachos and cheese, the whole thing.
Yum.
We had somebody ask us the other day, like they had no clue. Tammy, wasn't that you that said?
Yeah.
What did they say? They just didn't know what Cinco de Mayo was?
What day is Cinco de Mayo?
It's like, amazing.
I think five. Right.
Start counting in
it's
Spanish.
It's all good.
And then you see, they don't, down south, they're like, what day? Why did you pick this day?
Right.
I think it's one more day to make dough here in the United States.
Yeah.
Well, on Cinco de Mayo, I'm always excited to welcome Stephen Burton to the air in a little bit from Waterproof Solutions. He's always a ball of energy.
And, yes.
And he's the type of guy you want to hang out with on Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, man.
Pinata. He's a human pinata.
Exactly. Absolutely. Full of
energy.
He
might be the stick, though.
He
I'm
is.
Not sure.
You know what? Yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
He's one gregarious guy. I love
it. Yes, he is. He's awesome, man.
So he'll always excite the show. I can't wait for that. And so, guys, I've been looking into this bailout situation.
Yep.
Hey, this is a polarizing topic, and people have so many strong opinions on bailouts.
Right.
Just first thing that comes to mind, what do you guys think when you hear bailouts?
Well,
I didn't like it. I thought it was a handout. I still have to pay my bills. No one helped me.
Right.
You know?
That's kind of how I felt, too. And, you know, I was right in that process of buying a new car from, of course, GM. And so my car, I made a joke that, you know, my car's part filled with gas and half bailout money. So, I definitely haven't had an opinion on that, but I'm ready to learn some more.
Well, okay, so as a fiscal conservative,
what do you think?
As a fiscal conservative, in general, I don't like the government being in our business.
Gotcha.
Okay, I just want them to kind of stay out of our lives as much as possible. Now, but I also want to be, like, this show is not political. Okay? It's not a political show at all, and I always want to pride myself on trying to be objective. Okay, so can I look at the situation objectively without any kind of political stance to it? And here's what I kind of came to is when I think about what are the, like, why would they do a bailout? Okay, if so many people are strongly against it, why do you guys think that they did it?
Well, you know, I'm with Tom. I really felt like everybody should pay their own bills and, the risk.
Exactly.
I'm going through risk, you know, when I invest into something and no one's there to help me out.
I think, Doug, it was for them to save face because they didn't want to look bad going under.
Okay, so to save, for the government to save face?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so here's my opinion on it, and I've done a lot of hard money lending.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've loaned out a lot of personal money to businesses or individuals that were in financial difficulty. And there were two questions that I had to ask myself before I did a hard money loan. Okay, I would have to ask myself, number one, is this money there to help them get over some hump to get to greener pastures where some life event or some economic downturn has hurt their business and this amount of money is going to be enough to actually get them over the hump, okay, get their business open,
okay,
get into the next stage? Or question number two, am I trying to put the fire out with gasoline?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I've done that before. Okay, I poured money into something, and I ended up losing it all. You know, I'll give you an example. I had a had a friend that loaned $50,000 to.
Right.
Okay. To help get his business out over the hump, and that business ended up not being able to get over the hump. So I had a coffee and wine bar down in St. Genevieve that I ended up with a fourth mortgage out of eight liens against this property. So I had to go in and actually buy this at the foreclosure auction because the second mortgage was foreclosing. So to protect my original investment, I had to go buy this. Well, I ended up losing another $25,000 over the next 2 years of owning this property and had a whole bunch of headaches. So I tried to put the fire out with gasoline by pouring more money into it.
I understand.
So to me, the government is the largest entity out there when it comes to money. And they look at these companies and they have to ask themselves the same question. Okay, what is the overall harm to the economy if this company goes under? So do we lose tax revenue because all these people are out of work? So with the automakers, that was probably a good example with them. Is it's a lot of jobs in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I understand,
and
right.
It did save a lot of jobs. There's probably a lot of thankful people with that.
Okay,
right.
That it saved the jobs, and now the automakers are back on their feet, and they're doing a pretty good job.
Right.
Yes. Okay. Oh, sure.
So that can probably still be debated whether it was a good thing or not.
Well, and I have to admit, I was mad.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't totally understand it or agree. But, Doug, I did buy a brand new Chevrolet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm back in.
There you
right.
go.
So
GM's still out there for you. Okay, so let's go
trying
to the banks.
Trying to help. Sure.
Okay, the banks, this drove people nuts when the banks got bailed out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. And they didn't, and they still paid executives, got their dough, everything like that. And some of the stuff wasn't used to actually bail out.
Okay, so that part of it, I think we have two separate issues here.
Mm-hmm.
I am not going to stand up for the banks when it comes to all the executive privileges and the big bonuses that they got during these situations. And even the structure of the banking system on how these people get paid is a problem. I think that they shouldn't be rewarded for short-term results.
Agreed.
Okay, that's a separate issue from you. Okay, so I'm going to use an example, Tammy, with you. You're in a situation if you have a teenage daughter and they get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not the situation you want to be in.
Right.
But now what do you do?
Well, you either accept it or you don't.
Right. Well, you can either reject them because
this has
happened.
I can make the situation worse.
Right. Or you can support
mm-hmm.
them
right.
To make the situation better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We were in the situation with the banks.
Right.
And the banks were going to go under largely because of the evaluation process of how the accounting system worked. So they had to do accounting based on what the value of those assets were. And they were leveraged based on the value of those assets. So when the real estate market crashes, when the stock market crashes back in 2008, those assets go down. Now all of a sudden they're undercapitalized. They could get pushed out of business overnight, literally overnight, because of the accounting system. Okay, so that in itself is a reason that they had to take a close look at this. So let's take the banks. Okay, we loan $236 billion out to banks. Okay, so
mm-hmm.
what's the result of that, I guess, is what we have to, now we have retrospect on our side. We can look back. Did they give any of it back? Okay, all the large banks have given the money back.
Good.
Some of the mid-range banks have not given all the money back yet, but out of $236 billion that went out, they brought $226 billion back in, has been repaid. So they're only $10 billion short
all right.
of being totally repaid. However, there's been $33.2 billion in dividends and interest that they've received, which means they're actually... they've made a profit of $23 billion by bailing out the banks.
So basically, the banks were the part of the larger part of the economy that would affect the most people.
Right. So they kept, they propped up these banks, and they kept them in good shape to help keep them in business. And plenty of them did go under. Okay, they didn't necessarily keep all the banks in business. Okay, so some of those banks did go under and should have gone under. So that's something that. I'm glad of that, but now we're $23 billion ahead to the good. That's actually that's a good investment. Okay,
I understand now. Yes.
Now Fannie and Freddie, real quick. Okay, I'm gonna hit this pretty fast because with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, that was pretty important because if they didn't bail out Fannie and Freddie, our housing market would have absolutely collapsed.
Now the government owns them.
They were a quasi governmental agency,
mm-hmm.
meaning they were sort of governed by the government. But they traded on the stock market, even though the government ran them and the government backed them. Okay, without that government backing, they would have been out of business in a hurry. Both of them would have gone under. Okay, the government put out they put out $187 billion to back Fannie and Freddie. Okay, so in the scheme of things, to support the housing market, it was very necessary. Now, Fannie and Freddie will take a little longer to pay it back. How much do you think they've paid back so far against that $187
billion?
Don't know, bud.
Well, zero, according to the government. Okay, but here's where it gets interesting. They actually paid back $65.2 billion to date out of the $187 billion, so roughly a third of it.
Well, then how
they paid back?
Can they say zero?
Because the government's keeping all of that as dividends and interest.
Okay.
And saying that nothing's been paid back against the principal yet. Interesting,
huh? How is that ever going to work? I mean, how are they going to get out of that?
Well, it's, you know, this is where, you know, you won't hear, the government was talking for a long time about how we needed to get rid of Fannie Mae and get rid of Freddie Mac so this couldn't happen again. Mark my words, you will hear no more about that from the government for a long time. This is a profit center for them right now.
Mm.
Okay, Fannie Mae made $7.2 billion in profit in the fourth quarter of 2013. That's pretty good revenue for the government.
Oh, my Lord.
$7.2 billion in profit all goes to the government.
Now, how does that translate to the consumer wanting to buy a home, though?
Well, the way it translates to the consumer is that without Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, that's the majority of the loans that are done out there. And without that backing of the government, interest rates would be significantly higher.
Okay.
There used to be what's called the secondary market, where if you didn't get a loan through one of the agencies, through Fannie or Freddie, or through FHA or VA, then there were all kinds of other programs out there that you could get. You know, subprime market, there was the Alt-A market, the jumbo market. Most of the secondary market went away. It's slowly starting to get reestablished, but without that, nobody could have bought a house.
Okay.
You couldn't have found, and interest rates would have been significantly higher. So they did provide that stability, and I know everybody wants to take some cheap shots at them, but I'm going to actually stand up for them. I mean, this started under Hank Paulson when he was head of the Treasury, under Bush, and then the same policies got passed on to Timothy Geithner, doing it for Obama. I'm not a huge fan of the administration necessarily, but I will say that I'm going to give them a little bit of credit that what they did is they did save a much worse crash in real estate and a much worse crash for our economy.
They created the gap between the dominoes.
Right. They did. Right. They did. They stopped this long run.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing it in Cyprus now, that they've had to stop the run on the banks in Cyprus. And it's funny because that's affecting our economy here with a little bitty country like Cyprus, 17th largest. It's the smallest country in the Euro Union. Okay, their GDP, so their gross domestic product, is about $17 billion per year. It's basically about the size of Vermont's GDP. So it's the economy the size of Vermont, which is our smallest state. So this little bitty country that's sending shockwaves through the Euro Union, it's coming all the way over here, that's sending a flight to quality where people are investing money back in our bond market in the U.S., because they know that it's a safe haven for money. The benefit of that is our consumer with lower interest rates. So that's kind of the moral.
So that's where you come in to bail people out.
It is where I come in to bail people out, exactly. So as a mortgage lender, rates are fantastic right now.
Okay.
I would highly encourage people to take a look at this. If you haven't refinanced yet, now's the time to do it. Okay, if you have refinanced and your rate's over, say, 4.25%, okay, you still need to take another look at it, because rates are really, really good, and they're not going to stay low very long. We're back down in the mid to low threes on 30-year fixed, in the high twos on a 15-year fixed. Those are great rates. I'd love to give you a free evaluation if you want to see if you should refinance right now. So if you want to find out more information on that, just contact me at 314-472-DOUG, 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684, or you can visit our website at DougHaldeman.com. DougHaldeman.com. Do you know the difference between piers and a brace on your foundation? I didn't. Coming up, Stephen Burton from Waterproof Solutions, who's the expert for the show, will help us become experts on our foundation. You're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.